You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Well, for a little hell, out in the St. John's Swamps, Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
A little tired, my friend, but otherwise top draw.
You're still smiling.
And you know what, Bill? While I'm on this side of the ground, I'm going to smile as much as I can each and every day while I can.
I think that's a good medicine.
No, Bill, as you know, this old weary road traveler logged a lot of miles in the last couple of 3 weeks.
I know. I can't believe it.
I'm starting to feel it, and my crew is also. But I'll tell you what, we're hanging in there, and the people that we have met over this last 3 weeks have been unmentionable. People that have taken us into their homes, shared their stories, shared their lives, shared their food with us, shared their drink with us. I mean, it's remarkable. You know, I hadn't been out in the field for a while, and it's just like yesterday. It's like riding a bicycle, Bill. And I want to tell my listeners and fans out there around the globe, you know, there's the old adage, you get a lot more from honey than you do from vinegar. And I don't know what it is. Maybe because we were the forerunners, the people that really brought this out to mainstream America, and there's a lot of other people that are doing it. But we had an awful lot to do with this, Bill, as you know. And the people are so anxious. No matter where we go, we're on a freeway, we stop to get gas, they huddle up to us asking for autographs, tell us stories, share their stories, get people on the phone to say, hey, you got to listen, we got the Bigfoot Hunter guys here. And my God, it never stops. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Ladies and gentlemen out there, I'm going to tell you a story. In particular, this last 2 weeks, we have some stories that were going to knock your socks off. Stuff that have never been recorded before, but because of us bonding with these people over the years, this just didn't come overnight. I'm talking over 3-4 years. We've been talking. Finally, we get out there to put a face with a voice, give them a shoulder to hug, and listen to their stories. And I got to tell you, as of recently, as of just yesterday, I think, because I don't remember the days anymore. It's just creeping up on me, and please forgive me. But we've been getting so many calls, so many emails about Jody and Jane back there on the East Coast. Well, we finally met them. These people are so genuine, so real, so us. And Jody, oh my God. This woman revealed things to me that only a person like a clairvoyant or a person who had experienced what I had experienced, she did also. And my mentor taught me these things over 40 years ago. And when she brought those out to me the other night, I was in awe of this woman. She is incredible. She showed us footage of a black creature and a white creature. She showed us footage at night where a large alpha male was destroying this house, throwing the siding out, stuff outside. You see it all, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be in our new movie, okay? It'll all be there. You're going to get to meet and see Jody and Jane. They're on the show tonight also. But you're going to get to meet and see Rocky. These people have become part of our family. He's like my brother. Where this man was held captive, they hijacked him for 5 days. They beat the hell out of him and his dad. He released the pictures. He released everything for us to show to you, to share to the world. We also have on film the lairs where these creatures were in Mississippi, where we actually got an Indian out of jail to tell the story to us. You will see all this. We also got a Department of Agriculture man. He was the boss of the crime unit who set up cameras for arsons and poaching for the state of Tennessee. And he took pictures of a creature. He tells us the stories in front of our cameras. He gave us the footage. We're down there in Georgia. A school bus driver. She's out on a lonely road after taking the kids to school. Here comes one of these creatures crossing the road. This is just some of the stuff that you're going to see, ladies and gentlemen. And then the icing on the cake. The creme de la creme, the resistance, okay? You're going to meet and see Mrs. Stinson. She was raising her hogs one night. Unbelievably, she goes out. She hears all this ruckus. It's gutted. No blood at all. They come back in. Her husband hears it again. He goes out. He fires. He shoots. He kills one of these creatures. It wasn't the hog. They call the constable. Constable called the feds. Feds chop her in, take the thing, and they leave. And they tell her and him don't say nothing. You're going to get to see this for the first time ever, ladies and gentlemen. We caught this stuff on film for you guys. Not just that. It wasn't just that. You're going to see the other part that is totally going to blow you away. Where our two new filmmakers find this journal in a garage sale. That's right. They find a journal and a camera with some footage in a garage sale. My name happened to be in that journal. And some of the other people we went to see across this country. And that's the reason why I took them with me. And the ultimate, the climax was what I just told you of all the accumulation of all that stuff. And then some. But the ending will knock your socks off as we're actually in the brush. Where both filmmakers hear this commotion. And they set a barrier in a century around with cans with rocks in it. About 30 feet out from their tent. And they hear this thing smashing down the trees, grunting. One of them jumps out as the other one's telling, please come back. Falls. And they walkie the other guys down the camp where I was. Where Youngblood goes out after them. Fires three times. Pow, pow, pow. He misses. And he normally doesn't miss, ladies and gentlemen. As good of a shot as he is. He follows after it. No blood. All of a sudden, the young filmmaker calls him back. Rob, come back. It doubled back on us. Drag the tent with them in it. They manage to get out and run like hell past the campfire. Rob comes to the defense. We found a camera. We found the trouble going off on the walkie. But we didn't find them. You're going to see and hear all of this in this new movie. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I want to go out there to two people that have, like, become my family. And I mean superstars. These people, if there's anything I can do for them, they've got it. I'm going to get out there to Jody and Jane. Jody, you out there, hon?
Yes, I am.
Good evening, and thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
I want to tell you how elated I am, number one, and honored, number two, to have you on our show this evening. I mean, we get many calls each and every week, many emails, and especially one. You have one fan. I think his name is Tom. Is it Planick or Pranick, Bill?
Panic.
This man adores you. And all he keeps is every week, Tom, please, is Jody coming back? Is Jody coming back? Is Jody coming back? Well, Tom Panic, I hope you're out there tonight because she's here as a special favor for me because of you and many others that have asked for her. Jody,
well, I'm
glad.
Tell
you, you blew me away the other night, as you know.
Yes.
Totally blew me away because not many people knew what you and I both know about these creatures, especially the markings with the stones and the sticks.
Yes.
And the honorariums in which they leave things for each other, and then plus the writings.
Yes, they do.
It blew me away because I've never I've met four people in 42 years. And you happen to be the fifth one now. And when you started telling me this, I was blown away. That's all I can tell you. I was totally, totally blown away. First of all, before we get into your story, how do you feel?
Well, I fell asleep earlier and had a dream. My muscles are all tight. I dreamt about it again. I dream about it a lot.
I know you do, and you know what? I want to tell the audience before we go into this. Ladies and gentlemen, you had a knee replacement, right? Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay. And she was all swelled up on her right leg and her foot. She's on painkillers and what have you. But still, she's a trooper. And she came through it all to be in front of the camera and tell her story for us, basically all of you around the globe. And I'm going to tell you something. When you see her, when you hear her story, when you see her film that has been taken, you will totally be blown, again, I emphasize, blown, B-L-O-W-N, away. Because we were just laid back in our tracks, okay?
Without well, you had to learn to live with them. You know,
I know you did.
Understand them.
What I want you to tell my audience around the globe, if you would, please, tell them how you first started when you moved down there into your home.
Yeah,
and
in
these
April.
Creatures got to know you and what you did in return.
Well, it started the night we moved in, around midnight. And then after that, it got more and more. And I knew what it was, but I didn't want to accept it. And then I was scared. I'm not going to lie, I cried a lot. And I started feeding them because I thought if I feed them, they'll leave me alone. You know, try to show peace, you know, like you stay in your part and I stay in mine. And I fed them salmon. And I could follow their markings. You know, I learned how to do that after so many years living there. You know, you learn about them. And you learn not to, you don't provoke them. And I try to admit to them, you know what I mean? I try to put my head down and not show any aggression. Like, I'm no smiling. I never smiled one time. You know, showed my teeth at them. But the markings amazed me. I learned that. And then I learned how to trick them. You know, people try to get them on cameras. And that one, this one camera film I had, I wish everybody in the world could see this. I mean, I finally tricked them. It hit me 4 years after living there. And I want people to know that they know what cameras are. They're not animals. These things are so intelligent. I will bet $1 million they're just intelligent, and they speak. It sounds like English, but it's not our language. It's like a Latin or a real old Indian language. They speak human, you know, and then they can grunt and growl and yelp and all that too. And I want to help people out there because I feel like somebody, I'm not going to mention their name, is leading people the wrong way. Because I know what the yelps mean. I know what they're doing. And I know what the knockings are. And if someone doesn't stop, somebody's going to get hurt. And that's what worries me. And the guy that, you know, I'm talking about, he's playing a game with these people, these like me, like a hillbilly, and sitting there saying, sign your rights away and let me do this. And he talks for you, you know, steal your story and runs. But he doesn't understand. He's putting people's life in danger by telling them, going out there doing this crap if you don't know what you're doing. And I learned by living there. I learned everything about, almost everything about them. You know, they're not stupid, and they're not just night creatures. They come out through the day and night. I mean, it was all the time. There was a home back there for them, and I seen one of their homes, one of the beddings. How they made it out of a pine tree. And like I said, they watched me build my barn. I knew they was watching me, and I knew everything about them. And when the only thing I did wrong was hold a gun in its face when I thought it was going to come through the door. It showed its teeth at me. They charged it a lot. Oh, yes, they like charging. And that night I thought I was going to die. You know, that was my horrific nightmare right there. I thought that was a day. But I want to help other people, you know, not stand up to them, but learn about them because they're smart. They know what cameras are. They know what things are. And if they're an animal, how do they know what a camera is? They look human, you know, they're human looking and giant, you know, they're big. And my sister, she's probably listening, Christy, she's seen it. She's seen a gray. I think the grayish white one, or she saw it, a different one, and when she spent the night.
You know, Jody, would you be kind enough to tell my listeners around the globe about the incident that we saw on tape about that house where this creature was just demolishing it and throwing it?
Oh, my God, yes.
That
thing's strong.
Without mentioning names, there was a zoologist and another guy that came down.
She wouldn't come back after that. It scared her to death. They were standing there. This is where they tore down the house. They were standing there talking, the white one and black one, and then one went one way and one went the other, and then the house, this old house, it would just punch boards out and bend over. I mean, you saw it. It would bend over and toss things out.
How many did you ever see at one time? About family.
One, two. At one time?
Yeah.
I think three to, was there four? There was a male one, a female, and a baby.
Uh-huh.
Three at one time. And then there's a black one that comes by. This is one clan, this three. And then there's another one, the black one, and then there's that grayish one. And there's quite a few out there, put it that way. There was, at one time, there were three. Usually one at a time, but that one was three, the most I've seen at one time. And they do have, like I said, they look like you, a man's genitals, you know.
Well, now, wait a minute now. Don't let people think you saw my genitals. The way you said that, please. I don't want
you, you know, they
the
got
idea.
Men's, they look like a human,
okay,
you know what
like
I'm talking about.
Okay. That's
and the female, too. She looks like a woman, you know. That's what I mean. They don't look like animals. They're white ones and black ones, like white face, black face, just like white and black people, you know. And I feel doomed when they come around me. See, before they come,
uh-huh,
I know when they're coming. That's what scares me.
That's the thing that I want you to explain to my audience, if you would, Jody. It's
okay.
Amazing.
Jane, me, will be sitting outside. I will know it first.
Right.
All day. I said, Jane, I know when they're coming. And it's like, this is going to be the night. They're coming today. They're coming. They're going to come tonight. They usually come every night, but I always know when exactly, and around 9:30. And, When the night it came to the porch, before I even saw it, I grabbed the gun and I said, it's coming. She goes, how do you know? Well, it came. And boy, did we stare each other down. And the day I stared it down, it did something to me. It was like it just went to my soul. And I always feel when they're coming. I feel when they're watching me. I know when they're going to come. I know where they're hiding. I went up a path and I went right to its bedding. And when I took other people up there and they wouldn't listen to me, I said, you've got to listen to me. Because I lived with them for a while, you know. I know what they're going to do. And they'll toss warning rocks. They'll toss warning signs, you know, rocks, and not hit me. But they'll let me know, get out of here, get them out of here. And they wouldn't listen to me. And then the guy took off and left me, you know, me and his wife. And it's like, I know their beds. I know exactly down at the creek when they get in, you know, when they go to the creek to get in to bathe or whatever they're swimming or whatever. I just know when they're coming. I can't explain it. It's a feeling inside me. And when I call them, I sit there on the porch right in the daytime. And I think my sister, sister was sitting there, and Jane, Jody, do it. And I called it. I hit, like, the exact kind of way they do it. And boom, it answered me. It was right there. It was like I ran in the house. I mean, because every time I do it, they come to me. They answer me. They have left me gifts, yes. But at the time, I didn't know that that's what it was doing. That was at the beginning. Then later on, I realized what it was doing. And it tore up our home. It tore the outside up. And then it, like I said, it would take my lumber and it would like to move it, you know, and restack it. It was just all the time there. It never left. It's just like they lived there.
Jody, let me ask you a question. Why do you think they picked you, they marked you?
I don't know. That's what I told Jay. I said, why are they more after me than you? You know, because it's like, it's me. I always end up confronting, facing them. And it's like they just, I feel them coming, and I feel dread, I feel doom. And then when it's over with, that feeling goes away, you know, and then it'll happen again. And it's like, and that ball light, people's got to know about this ball light. It exists with these things. I saw it, I've seen it, I've watched it, and I will lay my life down. I am not lying. This thing is real. This ball light, too. You know, and the ball light will come, and there they are. And I don't understand it. And sometimes there's not a ball light when they come, but sometimes there is.
Well, let me tell my audience out there, we saw the ball of light that she's talking about, ladies and gentlemen. We're trying to get this stuff clarified, and I'll let you know down the line. This footage is going to be in our movie. We've gotten Jody's permission. I'm totally astonished, okay? I've been doing this a long time, as you know, Jody. And then you've got your longtime friend, Jane.
Yes.
Jane has been there for you. You've been there for her. I noticed that telling us the story that you had to protect her one night.
Yeah, with the gun. I had to get between her and it.
That's right. Can you shed some light on that story?
Well, it was when I thought I had the door open, just the glass door, the storm door was there, the whole glass, and it was leaning against it. It came up the steps, and I know there was more than one out there because they were talking to it. And then it started leaning against the glass, and it about broke it. And I was real close to it. I mean close. And I held a gun, and I thought, well, I'm going to die. This gun ain't going to work. You know, because it's so big. And I was like, well, I'm going to die first, so I'll just get between you and it. Jane wouldn't look. She kept her head down. She wouldn't look at it. She was too scared, too. And then I held the gun, and we stood there like a standoff. It seemed like forever. And I was sobbing. I was crying, and it was showing its teeth at me. It's eyes. I can't explain it. It's just, it goes through you. And I was willing to die that night. I wasn't going to let it come in the house. I knew if it did, we're dead. And before it has, broke the back door. It one pull, broke the back lock and everything, and it started coming in, slapping the floor. And, yes, I froze in too. I mean, it's like it wasn't scared of us. It just like it come around all the time. And I started feeding it out back, trying to keep it away from the house, but that wasn't working. It still come to the house. You
well,
know,
how many
and
years
it just,
total were you menaced by these creatures?
Excuse me?
How many years total did
Five.
You have a relationship with these creatures?
Five.
5 years?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to make an announcement, and I hope you don't mind me telling everybody. But, ladies and gentlemen, Jody and Jane have both had other investigators, researchers, call them what you like, come out to the property. They've seen these creatures also. They're keeping their research under wraps. Jody has told me that, Tom, I want you to tell everybody, let them see it too. She has invited me and my guys. I'm going to take just 4 guys with me, the creme de la creme, the number one guys, and I'm going to tell them the truth, if you don't mind. I'm going to tell them that we've been invited by Jody and Jane. Her health problem will be all fixed up. She'll be recuperated praise God. Let's knock on wood. And we're going to go back out to this area where this family of these creatures are. And I asked her, is it just a migrational thing, just a certain time of the year? No. All year long. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we got a whole lot more show here. And gosh, when I talk with you, it just brings back so many memories, Jody.
But like I told you, too, when I had some people out there, and I set bells out. Remember, we set bells out, and it was pitch black, and I just had a feeling they were watching me again. There they were. I knew they were down there. I feel them. And I said, you men go in the house for a minute. And right when they walked in the door, the bells started ringing.
Wow.
And I said, I knew they were there. I knew it.
Well, you're definitely gifted. You've got some kind of clairvoyancy, that's for damn sure. And I'll tell you what, you've got me on your side. Listen, get yourself some rest. Get healthy again. I'll be in touch with you 2-3 times a week. Say hello
okay.
to Shane for us. And we got a whole lot more show. You might want to mute out and listen to some of the stories from the other people.
Okay.
God bless you, dear.
God bless you, too.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Bye-bye.
Be well. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jody. Unbelievable. Wait till you see what she's got. It's just totally incredible. Let's go to commercial, Marco.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Back to you, Tom.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth. Every time I hear that little ditty, it just blows me away. But I'm going to tell you, after us being out in the field again and sharing the stories with so many wonderful people around this planet, it's just blowing me away. I have a feeling that we just might be lucky, and one of these things might come right to us. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Virginia and talk to Anthony. Anthony, you out there?
Yes, sir, I am. How you doing, Tom?
I'll tell you what, we're tired, but never too tired to hear from a friend and a story, what's going on, and I understand that you have some new things to offer back in your area.
My goodness, man. After a powerful testimony like that, I don't even know if I can contribute.
I got to
tell
you,
unbelievable.
In all my years, this woman is a phenomenon. She's incredible. She told me things that only the people who had an encounter with, I haven't shared it with my own guys, and she had talked about it. And I was just, my hair on my arms, the back of my neck just stood up. And I'm saying, you know, God rest his soul, my buddy Ivan, my mentor, you're not going to believe what I'm hearing here, okay? And there's only two or three clairvoyants that I know in the industry, and one of them are dead. And then there's one called Joanna, the fish woman, and one was Mike Sells and his wife. And when she shared with me the same thing that these other people had shared with me, I totally freaked out. I said, oh, my God. Well, that's for a whole nother day. Tell us what's going on with you.
Well, I still got a friend in an area that on the edge of his property there that they had built a formation there. you know, teepee-like formation, but this one is kind of more like a literal teepee. It's in a circle, but all the trees kind of bend inward. And his dog, he's been hearing some things, and he's been going online trying to do the research and what they sound like. But his dog was out running around, and he can't figure out how, but his dog had come back injured, you know, was hopping on three legs. And so he's still not comfortable with getting you up there. But I hadn't been too far from where I'm at, and went over there. We did see some footprints over there, but it was still kind of at an angle, you know, kind of like a little bit of a slope. Didn't know if he was going to get a good cast out of it or not. But I'm sure if we would have worked a little harder, we probably could have. But we just didn't have the time at the time that I had checked it out. But I got to catch up with them. Hopefully, you know. Something was casted. Got someone else probably about 45 minutes in another direction. And he's a guy that I talked about before on the show. And he has had some interesting things going on in his area as far as screams and wood knocks taking place. And this is in his on his property. Probably maybe about 100 yards back, but when he hears these screams, you know, he said, you know, he just knows for sure. He said these are not animals, you know. He's just saying that he doesn't know what's screaming over there, and it pretty much when he's out there with his dogs, he said the dogs are just like statues, you know. They just won't move, they won't bark, and they just looking in what direction, and he's just trying to see what they're looking at, but he just can't figure out what they're figuring out. So, but it's what's been going on in the past 2 weeks over here, which is nothing compared to that poor woman who was dealing with them for 5 years.
I'm telling you, we have been honored to finally meet her, put a face with a voice, as you know, and as soon as she gets better, you know, I'm going to pick four of the guys to have them go out with us.
Make sure you get Rex with you.
Oh, that boy of mine, he's always welcome. He doesn't need an invitation.
All right, well, if you swing this way, tell him to pick me up.
It's going to be the first week in December. So, and she knows exactly where it's at. She knows exactly when they come around, and she's going to be the captain of this ship. I'm going to tell you that right now. We're going to do everything she says, and we're going to make it happen. Listen, I want to thank you so much. How's the weather by you?
It's pretty nice. It's been in the 60s today. I know it's going to be in the 70s, at the highs in the 70s the next couple of days.
I got to tell you a story. We were about 8,400 feet all in the mountains, and it was about 3:30, 4 o'clock this morning, and they had the signs. It was in Wyoming, and it said that trucks with small trailers unadvised park. Don't go up over the mountain, because they had gust of winds of 50 miles an hour. At one point in time, I thought the trailer got in front of our truck from the wind last night. It got down to 21 degrees.
Ooh.
Oh, it was terrible. But you know what? We still get out there. We still do it. We still make it happen. And I guess we're just destined. You know, Anthony? We're just destined to find out the truth. Stick around. We've got a lot more show. Thanks for sharing with us. And we'll talk to you real soon, okay?
All right, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care. God bless.
You too. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Anthony down there in Virginia. Great guy. We're going to go out to another great guy down there to Four Corners, New Mexico. He's like my boy also, Dave Ortiz. Dave, you doing out there? What's happening?
Yeah, I'm out here. How's it going there?
Well, I got to tell you, if you listen to the show.
Yeah.
There's some incredible
things going on.
Oh, my God. David, I'm telling you, the woman is phenomenal. If you saw the footage,
uh-huh.
I just can't wait. I'm just hoping that she gets better quickly and goes for therapy and gets a leg feeling good so she could walk.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
If you saw the footage, you know what I'm talking about. And again, not many people knew what she was talking about unless you really had an encounter, as I have.
Whoa.
And knew the things that she told me. And that was the thing that freaked me out.
Most incredible, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyhow, tell me about what's happening with you.
Okay, well, we seem to have a little spike of activity recently. This is what happens around here. We'll have days and evenings of just total complacency, and then boom, something happens for two, sometimes three nights, and then it goes back to complacent again. This weekend, we did have some reports of I've been investigating a home off and on that have had scratch marks. I sent some pictures over to Marco Bill, and there's scratch marks on windows, and a vehicle that's actually had fingernails, extremely strong, that have dented into a Chevy grill, a Chevy pickup grill. And the activity slowed down, but in this case, coming to a conclusion that they have said they've seen Bigfoot out there on occasion in their fields right behind their house, but there's something else out there too, Tom. It may be something related to this lady that was on your show earlier this evening. It almost bends near around the paranormal. I don't know if it's near it or it is or partially. these things aren't leaving a lot of tracks, but they're doing a lot of damage of sorts, like that Chevy girl I told you about, leaving scratches. But it seems like there's a focus on one of the girls that lives there. There's a young girl that I believe has been dabbling in occultic arts. And she came back this weekend, and this happened several weeks ago, where they were getting this basically like being harassed and almost attacked. And then as soon as she left, she moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Things got really quiet. Well, she comes back this weekend, and then this activity started up again. And this time we brought Father Ray. We brought him over, and we had him, bless the property and the wonderful family's home. And I need to, do a follow-up and see if this has helped out. But there also has been some other activities. I talked to Brenda recently, and apparently they've had a Bigfoot that was roaming around the area to a point where people were actually getting flashlights and lighting up a hillside because apparently this thing ran up. And they could see this from their house. And I think Brenda said they caught some eye shine somewhere near those hills, too. They're just like shale clay hills, nearby their house. But I went out with Brenda here a few weeks ago, and we were doing a Bigfoot stakeout because there had been some intense activity. So what we would do, we stayed out till 3 in the morning. We'd hear the way you know where a Bigfoot is in this area is that you listen to the dogs. There's a lot of wild and owned dogs, a lot of pets, used for, for as pets and protection. And we would hear a group of dogs barking maybe half mile away. So we'd drive in the area, and then it'd get quiet in that area. Then we'd hear the dogs another half mile away. And this was almost like a game we were playing, and it almost seemed like these things knew we were in the area. So they'd scoot off somewhere to a different place and do whatever they do. And it'd leave us just hanging, listening, to the dogs barking, sometimes howling. So we'd go over there again, and it was just this back and forth tag thing. So I said, Brenda, I'm getting tired. let's just call it a night. But it was interesting to see how their patterns are. When you go investigate, they seem to want to go into a different area. They don't want to be seen. They're very elusive in this part of New Mexico, I guess. But yeah, we have had activity on and off, and there was something that in the conversation earlier that struck me that I'm beginning to think that maybe we have resident Bigfoot, that maybe we aren't having so much migration patterns, but apparently this year we've had activity all through the whole year, and maybe they like the river bottoms a lot. There is adequate water, fish, vegetables during the fall, vegetables and fruits. We heard that there were pumpkin patches that got hit, melon patches in general. So
I brought up to Jody the other night about what we found out there in the caves.
Mm-hmm.
You remember what we found out in the caves?
Oh, yeah. Corn.
Corn.
Yeah.
And how was the corn found, David?
It was completely, the husks were, well, the core, I guess, would that be called the husks, the core?
Yeah, the corn husk, yeah.
Yeah, it was completely intact, and they weren't broken, just completely intact and completely stripped of corn kernels.
And how did we find them? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
But yeah.
They were stacked.
Yeah, they were stacked. And I've seen some more stacked stuff in this area, too.
Now, here's the point, ladies and gentlemen. What kind of creature that has non-opposable thumbs that could take a corn, a husk of corn, and just go across, eat it all, after taking the husk off of it, and taking that cob, put it down, go to another one, put five in a row, and then start stacking on top of them?
Yeah, they're very tidy.
How many animals do you know that could do that?
I don't know of any. They're very
exactly.
untidy.
That's my
they
point.
Just
Guess
eat
what?
It.
Jody brought that up
wow.
just the other night. Now, you and I both were on another part of the country, weren't we?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we saw the same thing, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
Pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah, it is.
I can't wait. I wish tomorrow was the 10th of December, and she was feeling great. Because I'll tell you what, I have a feeling with the help of this woman and her partner, Jane, that we are going to come across one of these things.
I sure really hope so.
Do.
Yeah. Oh, I sure hope so, Tom. This thing needs to be discovered
Big
and brought
time.
Out to the world.
Big time. What else is going on? Anything else new?
Just typical reports of that nature. We're having a beautiful fall out here. The weather's great. We have, 30s at night, but the days are like in the low 70s, upper 60s. So.
You know, I got to tell you a story. We spent 3 or 4 days, I don't know how many, maybe 4, maybe 5, who knows, down there at Chuck Creel's place. And, my God, it was hit 96 degrees, 94 degrees. But you know what? And you met Chuck. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he sure is.
His family were so hospitable. If it wasn't for Kelly, it wasn't for Corey, it wasn't for Bo, those people, you know, opened their homes to us. I mean, and here we are, a bunch of smelly hunters, okay? And they had food for us. They had beds for us. You wanted to wash your clothes, you washed your clothes. And they were there to do anything we needed. And God loved those people. They have become our family like you wouldn't believe, as you're my family. And when we left, his exact words, your home is here whenever you need it. They're just some of the greatest people in the world. And I got to tell you this, and you know this yourself, son, that these relationships that we've made around the globe, especially around the United States, they're lasting. They're not flash in the pans. They're here today and gone tomorrow. They are people that are true blue, and they're there for us. And I got to tell you, one more. Chuck Creel, Kelly Creel, Bo Creel, or Bo McIntosh, thank you from the bottom of my heart and my crew's heart for all you've done for us and your continued support, and we're there for you no matter what. David, thank you for your contribution. Let's go on to the next episode. Mute yourself out.
Okay,
let's see what else we got online for everybody, okay?
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Be well, son. Thanks again. Marco, let's go to commercial.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotti and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And back to you, Tom.
Thanks, Bill. You know, ladies and gentlemen, every time I hear these little tidbits, these little snips of the trailers of the different movies that we've done, it reminds me that we were there just yesterday. It's just totally amazing to be out in the field, even at my age today. And I'm doing it again. You know, some of these young filmmakers come to me and they said, hey, Mr. B, how do you do it, man? You know, you're out here, 96 degree temperature, humidity is 102. Some of us young people are falling down in the mud and stuff and getting bit up and everything else, but yet you lead the pack and you get us through it all and you never tire. Well, it's not that I don't tire, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a human being like everybody else, except I'm used to it like everyone else, and I've got a burning desire. And my desire is to get one of these things, to prove it to the world, and specifically for you guys out there in Bigfoot land. And I'm going to tell you something. Right now, we have a new product. You go to our website, searchingforbigfoot.com. You'll see it. It's called Cell Sign Detectors. Guy made them kind of for us. He's put a label on it, Monica. It's called the Bigfoot Detector, Tom Biscardi and his crew. And they're phenomenal, ladies and gentlemen. They're small. No light is detected. Because these creatures, you heard what Jody said. If you have a light on those cameras, they know. They know to go underneath or on the side or behind. These new cameras, ladies and gentlemen, as soon as the creature goes by or whatever, you're notified on your phone immediately. That's right, because it's a SIM card that's in it. It's just like somebody texting you or somebody sending you an email with a picture. And you will see what went in front of that camera. 30 to 60 feet out, infrared. Keep batteries on that damn thing. They'll go for 5 months at a time. Unbelievable. Bigfoot can run, but he can't hide now. Our arsenal is getting fortified more and more by high tech. If you want any more information, give us a call or go to our site, searchingforbigfoot.com. Marco Bill's got him there. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I want to get out there to my boy, Rob Price. Rob, you out there, son?
I'm here, Chief.
I got to tell you something. Kudos, 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 and more kudos to you. You made me so proud the other night during that filming. And when we had those two camps and how you were Johnny on the spot, you and your guys, to come back there for those two young filmmakers when they had that little incident, did it blow your mind like it did mine?
Well, of course it does. It always blows your mind when something like that happens. You don't ever know, you know, what's going on from one second to the next when you're out there and you can't get in communication with someone. I mean, you know, most of the areas that we deal with don't have cell phone coverage. That's what a lot of people don't understand. You can't just pick up a cell phone and make a call like you could in town. They're like, don't we have any better place to put this? Because we need cell phone coverage. Like, there's not any. That's the whole point. You get away from civilization doing this stuff. I mean, the creature is not walking down the, you know, main street in New York. If it was, I think it'd be pretty easy to snag one of them.
Without a doubt. When you got the call on the walkie from that young filmmaker, and she seen, or they both seen or heard, something huge thrashing outside, what went through your head?
I was thinking to myself that, you know, I don't know what's going on, what's happening, because I'm not there. I mean, I'm off 200 yards through the woods. I'm in the brush trailing this thing, you know, in high pursuit, and I'm going up through there, and I get what I think is a clear shot at it, and I hit a tree. It got behind a tree on me, and I dead-centered the tree, you know, and I just happened to have the wrong thing with me at the time. If it had been one of my rifles, it would have been a different story because it went through the tree.
Without a doubt. Now, here's the big clincher. When you pursued the thing and you get the frantic call from her on the walkie, what went through your head?
Well, what's going through my head is either she's scared to death, running in the woods, blind in the dark, or she's done been snagged. One of the two. You don't really know until you actually get there and see what happened.
And
I mean, you know, hysteria, you know, adrenaline, all that good stuff, it kicks in and you just get moving and you're wide open. Your heart's pumping, you know, 200 beats a minute.
So when you and your guys got there, what did you see?
I saw two cameras laying on the ground. First thing I noticed was I put one guy to check the tent while I went run on through the camp, and you know, where the fire was going, I run by it. And as I was running by it, I almost kicked the camera because I saw it, but it didn't register as, you know, like, okay, maybe they dropped it, whatever. I yelled Chico. He was behind me, had my he was covering my six, and grabbed the camera. And I took off forward, and I just yelled back for Chuck because he checked the tent and said it was clear. Come back. And Chuck gave me light, and I just struck off through the woods, run across the camera, the walkie-talkie, a flashlight, I mean, turned on in the woods. No sign of nothing. You're just like, oh, my God.
Say no more. Say no more. I think we told them enough. And I want to thank you. I want to thank your boys, Chico. I want to thank Bill. I want to thank Chuck. Boy, I want to thank Chuck. Because he really stepped up to the plate, especially that night. And without your leadership, we could not have done or got on film what we did. And thank you from the bottom of my heart, son.
That's no problem, Chief. Just, you know, always a team member. Once a team member,
and by
always.
By the way, everything you said about Jody and Jane,
uh-huh.
A+.
No problem, Chief. I told you, if I, you know, I tell you I believe somebody, I believe them.
A+, and I can't wait until the 10th of December, and you know where you're going to be that day.
I know where I'm going to be.
Okay. All right, son. Thanks for chiming in. Have a great night, and good luck on those tests, okay?
Thanks, Chief.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to thank all my guests tonight. Jody, Anthony, David, of course, Rob, of course, my co-producer, my partner, Marco Bill. Give a little extra prayer out there, if you would, for a dear friend of mine who needs some rehabilitation. I didn't really know this just till today. To my friend, Miss Calabash, wherever you are, kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving to determination. The only key they had to unlock the door. Monster Mission Mysteries. Legend.